Hello, podcast listeners, and welcome to A House of Zodiacs, where I'm your girl Mercedes, laying down my personal stories with a raspier tone. Here I talk about my family, made up of a Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces, Aries, and myself, a Cancer, and what it's like dealing with everyday life and events. So come along with me by subscribing, tuning in, and sharing the love. As always, thank you for all your support. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast. It's me, Mercedes, and this is A House of Zodiacs. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced trying to record something and then actually not recording it, because I literally just did that. So here I am now, finally getting the story out that I want to get out, and it didn't even record, but now I'm redoing this, so bear with me with everything that I'm going to say. Obviously, it's not recorded, the prior one. So, you all get to hear this fun story all over again. Well, I get to hear it all over again. Essentially, you guys get to hear it for the first time. So, anyways, today we are talking about my gallbladder. For those who don't know, basically, I have this very long story of my gallbladder issue. I'm sure some of you who are listening to this have experienced gallbladder issues. And I'm going to basically just kind of tell you my story and basically the procedure that I had recently. It's been like a week since that surgery, and kind of how I feel, and kind of just overall how it's nice to not now have this pain in the ass organ that apparently you don't need. But for some of you guys who maybe don't know, and this is literally from Google, my surgeon would joke, because I literally am very much a hypochondriac. I feel like I Google search so much stuff that I'm like, stop it, Mercedes. You don't need to be doing this. You are scaring yourself. It's ridiculous. So he would laugh at me and be like, oh, Dr. Google, he must be super cute. And I'll be like, yeah, he definitely helps with my hypochondria, that's for sure. But this is literally word for word essentially what a gallbladder is. Basically, a gallbladder is a small pear-shaped organ on the right side of your abdomen. So it's just beneath your liver, and the gallbladder basically holds a digestive fluid called bile, and that's released into your small intestine. So basically, the gallbladder collects and concentrates this bile, releases it when you do eat, and this helps with digestion and fat. So when it's removed, the bile is less concentrated and it drains more continuously into the intestines, where it can have a laxative effect. The amount of fat you eat at one time also plays a role. So basically, that's just kind of like a general idea of what your gallbladder is and what it is essentially like not having a gallbladder. So basically, my story starts off with me being pregnant in July of 2017 and going to my first prenatal appointment for when I was pregnant with Cosmo. And at that appointment, I'm sure if you've heard from my prior podcast, basically it's just a full physical. Essentially, they just check everything over and make sure you're good for your pregnancy, basically. And if there's any other tests you need to go through, your doctor basically will just kind of go over those and send you for those. When my doctor did kind of do like my checkup of like my stomach and everything like that, she could hear something that was a little different. So she's like, I'm going to send you for an ultrasound for that area, and we'll see kind of what comes up. So she did. And basically what happened was I had a polyp. At the time, I think it was only, less than 1 centimeter. So they're told that at less than one centimeter, or like as a patients or whatever, you know, you're told at 1 centimeter, it's not so much that it needs to be removed. It's not something for a cause of concern. And, you know, you just kind of just do follow-up appointments on it. And hopefully whatever it is, it will kind of just break down and go away. So that was kind of my thought, my intentions. And I didn't really want to kind of freak myself out on that, because I was also like pregnant and there was already so much to kind of focus my mind around. So I kind of put that on the back burner and just didn't really think about it. So I had Cosmo in February of 2018, and then I think the following month, so in March, I went for a follow-up appointment, because I think at the time I was told to go like the 6 months prior to that first one, and then if nothing's changed, then you go in a year. So I went to the 6 month one, and once again, nothing had changed about this polyp. It was still the same size. So I was grateful for that. I was like, great, nothing's changed. I'm good. And then I was supposed to go for the year one, but I had actually gone back to work in, I think, February 2019, and I think just kind of like life got in the way, so I didn't really like think about it. And then I had another health issue in November of 2019, so that's when my doctor was like, okay, let's follow up as well on this polyp. So I go, and turns out this polyp has grown. It's grown a whole centimeter, which is crazy when you think about how it was a little less than a centimeter prior, about a year and a bit prior, and now it's basically a whole other centimeter, which is just crazy. And for those who don't know, like, the average gallbladder size is, I believe it's about, from what I've read, I think 7 to 10 centimeters. So basically like the size of your credit card. It's literally the size of your credit card. And then it's kind of, I believe it's like 3 centimeters in width, I believe. Width is 7 to 10. Height, I think, is like 2.5, 3, I believe, something like that. So basically, when you look at your credit card, it's literally like lengthwise your credit card and half of your credit card. So just like a little strip, essentially. That's kind of how big the gallbladder is. And as it distends as well, it can be bigger. So you can imagine something disruptive such as gallstones even, or polyps being a nuisance. Definitely, it can cause pain, it can cause any sort of attack. It's basically just overall, you know, it's not a fun experience for anyone who does go through that. I think I had gone through that years prior, and at the time, I think my doctor just, she didn't bother investigating. She just figured, you know, I'm young, I'm probably not eating the greatest food, and I definitely wasn't. Not that I wasn't fully taking care of myself. I think I was doing more like running, and at the time I was probably doing pole fitness, so I was just trying to like outweigh the whatever with food. So I definitely probably wasn't eating the greatest food, but I was trying to stay healthy just by even working out. Obviously, that's definitely not enough. I think definitely it starts in the kitchen for sure. What you input into your body is the outcome you want and you will get. So I was told it had gone a whole centimeter, or it's gotten big a whole other centimeter. So it's 2 centimeters of this polyp. And polyps, from what I read, I think they're basically, I'm trying to think what they're kind of made of. Let me just quickly kind of Google this, because I think like gallstones, like you can have stones, and those are made up of fats, I think. And so cholesterol, I was gonna say, it's like cholesterol kind of buildup and or bilirubin, according to Google. Yeah, so if you have, so that's kind of what, we're still not sure what the polyp's made of from my situation, but some people who do have gallstones, it's like cholesterol buildup, unfortunately. So I was told that in November of 2019, and I was told I would meet my surgeon, so I did. I met him. He's actually from Fergus. I am so sorry. I do apologize. I don't even know his name. I can't remember his name, because I was actually passed off to a whole other surgeon who did my surgery. But he basically kind of went over everything, and he sent me for his own ultrasound, which obviously they just want to see kind of what's going on their perspective, because you have so many different ultrasounds in so many different months. So did this ultrasound, whatnot, came back, and then I also had a surgery book. So I was actually supposed to have surgery January 2020. So at the end of January, I was supposed to have surgery. And I think literally, as I had booked it, I went home and then I got the call saying, you know what, we're going to cancel your surgery. I'm going to send you for an MRI in February because I want to make sure, I think you want to basically make sure that the polyp wasn't attached somehow to like the liver or there wasn't anything else happening in the liver. I think because an MRI can give you more of a better idea of what you're looking at as opposed to, you know, an ultrasound, just one ultrasound essentially. So I did that. I was a little annoyed at first because I was just like, I just couldn't want this out. I want this out of my life. And, but it is what it is. I just went through with it. I did the MRI, and at the MRI, they had said, if you don't hear from your doctor or whatnot in a week, then kind of just give them a call. Well, obviously I didn't call. I kind of just put it in the back of my head. I'm like, you know what, if it's super duper crazy, then they're going to let me know. Obviously that's not what happened. So fast forward to basically April of 2020. This is when I found out I was pregnant with Monroe. And at the time I definitely wanted to know, what the hell am I going to do about this gallbladder? What, it literally all of a sudden was just like, okay, what can I do? So I called the surgeon. I talked to like reception, basically told them my whole situation. They're like, oh, no problem. We don't do surgery on pregnant women anyways. So it's probably going to be after. Okay, great. Cool. Then I get a call in probably June. Saying that my I think because all the a lot of the surgeries, even still now, a lot of the surgeries because of COVID and everything are backlogged. So I think he was busy, the surgeon that I originally was going to have, he was busy. So basically they passed me off to another surgeon in Guelph, and I'm originally from Guelph, so that was kind of nice to have someone there closer to, I guess, my mom essentially. And if I need my mom, then she's there. So it was nice to be a little bit closer that way. And so his name, the doctor that I was switched to, who actually did my surgery, his name's Dr. Footnalong. He's wonderful doctor. Definitely recommend him if you are having gallbladder issues. He's fantastic. So basically he called me and he kind of just went over, you know, we don't do surgery on women who are pregnant, and just to kind of give him a call back around November so I can do a consult in December. Obviously that did not happen either. And I want to note too, I never really knew anything about this MRI. I still have no idea to this day. I don't know anything more about this MRI. No one has given me any more information than this is how big the polyp is and blah, 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 blah. Cool. So I didn't get anything more than that, which is fine, whatever. Like I said, I was told to go in December. Didn't do that because of everything that was going on. Obviously, you know, we're still in a pandemic, lockdown, everything like that. It's just ridiculous. And not only that, but I was obviously supposed to have Monroe on the 27th of December. And I was also trying to like figure out this whole EI thing, coming back into being on maternity leave and everything like that. So it was just too much. Plus you have Christmas, you have everything, right? So it's just, it was like one thing after the other. So I didn't bother. I should have done it, but I didn't bother. So fast forward to basically February 2021. I totally forgot, not forgot about this gallbladder. Clearly I knew I needed it out sometime. Eventually it will come out. I knew that. But for the time I was just like, couldn't even remember like Dr. Footnalong's number. Probably could look him up. I think I tried. I couldn't find anything concrete. I think I found a few things, but I wasn't too sure. I'm just like, no, I'm just going to wait. I'll just wait. He'll call me. I know he will. And eventually, his receptionist did. She talked to me, basically said to come in for May 4th for a consult. And I said, yeah, I will definitely do that. And I did. So fast forward now to May 4th, I go and I meet Dr. Footnalong. He's hilarious. He's fantastic. He's definitely the right surgeon to do the job for sure. Like if you were to choose someone to do something for you, surgeon-wise, he would be it. He's fantastic. Like I was actually very thankful he did my surgery as opposed to the other surgeon I originally was supposed to have in Fergus. He definitely put my mind at ease. I was still definitely very scared of the surgery, only because I definitely have this fear with like anesthesia. I don't know why. I've only really been under anesthesia general anesthesia. Maybe this would be like, I guess my second time that I know of, essentially. Obviously, I was born preemie. From those who haven't listened to my prior podcast, I was born at 28 weeks. So I had needed surgery for my heart and lungs and all that stuff. But this is stuff that I can't remember. I did break my hand when I was 12. Literally, I had the break go into my hand and bend my fingers backwards. I wish I had a picture. I so do, because that would have been an internet blow up for sure. That picture alone. But I don't, unfortunately. I think I was way too panicked. My mom was like, oh my God, what do I do? What are we doing? Take you to the ER. Let's go. But that's the only other time like I can think of that I was under anesthesia. So for me being, 30 years old, and a lot of people are like, oh, you're young, it's fine, like you'll get, but I still have this fear. And I'm going to do a whole other podcast as well about dreams and sleep paralysis and all that, because I definitely suffer from that. And that was also another fear I had, is if I fall asleep, what if I can see myself in surgery? I know that's crazy, but I know it's just one of those fears. So this was a big fear, obviously, and dying. Essentially, dying is the number one fear. But then it just comes with like bullet points underneath that. So, I eventually kind of was set. I just told myself, Mercedes, this is just another thing that you need to get over, and you will get over it. You just got to take it day by day and it will be fine. And I did. So basically, I went in for May 4th. They said, we'll do another ultrasound. So I went for another ultrasound. And I think May 4th was like the Monday. So I went that Wednesday for the ultrasound. And they called that Wednesday and said, we're going to do your surgery next Wednesday, so May 12th. So literally like a week and a day ago, I had my surgery. And I was so, because at first I was like, okay, I won't have this surgery for a while. I'm definitely one of the backlogged people who is going to have to wait, which is fine. I was okay with that. And then all of a sudden it was like, nope, we're going to do your surgery in like less than a week. Okay, cool. Now I'm still nervous. Obviously I'm scared, but like I said, I just told myself, you got to get over and done with, and you're going to laugh about it. And here I am laughing about it. So fast forward to May 12th, where I am day of surgery. Basically, they tell you that you can't eat after 12 o'clock the night before. So I stopped eating probably at 5 o'clock the night before, which was a little hard for my stomach, because I love to eat everything and anything. I like to snack. I'm very much a snacker. So if I see something, I'm like, oh, I'm going to eat that. So that was a little hard. But I could drink until I think 9 or 9:30 that following morning, so this day of surgery. So that was fine. I think I only had like maybe 2 glasses of water and stopped drinking, obviously, at like 8:30 or something. So did that. And then Kurt drove me to Guelph, which was fantastic. Left the kids with Grandpa. That was very sweet of him as well. And got to the hospital. I was supposed to have surgery at 1:30. I was supposed to be at the hospital at 11:30. So Kurt dropped me off probably around 11:15. And I go in. They do like the COVID basically screening. Just basically ask you the questions. Ask you to change your mask. Can I change my mask? I go upstairs to day surgery, basically kind of go through the process there, fill in some paperwork, and they bring you to your room, and basically it's just kind of like a curtain around your room. Ask you to basically strip down and put on hospital wear. So I did that. The little booties that come with it, all of that. So did that. And for a good, I probably was like finished everything probably around 11:40. And they came in and then did my vitals. Basically, they just check like your blood pressure, your temperature, everything like that. Make sure you're okay. My blood pressure is a little bit high because I definitely do suffer from white coat syndrome. I know a lot of people are like, that's not a real thing, but it definitely is a real thing. Because my blood pressure gets high when I see any sort of doctor or whatever. It's ridiculous. So definitely was a little bit higher, but they said it was fine as I kind of just took a few deep breaths and it went down. So everything was fine there. And then I just basically waited. And in that time, I literally just looked around the room. I listened to other people's conversations like I was a nosy ass neighbor. And I didn't even touch my phone. I didn't want to look at anything. I just wanted this to be over and done with. So thankfully, I had the porter come, and she was so sweet. This was like her first week of being a porter, and she, basically a porter is someone who just kind of takes you around the hospital in your bed, essentially. So that's what she does. And she took me to basically like outside of the operating room. And so I was just waiting for them to finish up another surgery they had prior. They finished that surgery, and then I met the doctors. I actually came out. I met my anesthesiologist. He asked if I had any questions. I said no. I was just kind of the common fears and everything. And, you know, he said it's all right. Like, no problem. Very normal. And then I met, obviously, Dr. Footen along, and I met his assistants that would be helping him with the surgery. And they were all super wonderful. I think the only question I really had was, because I saw on Google, obviously, stop Googling shit because everything is wrong there. Everything is wrong. But basically, I read that, like, some people need catheters, and I asked that. I don't know why I asked that. I just really wanted to know. And then the nurse, she was so sweet. She was just like, no. She's like, no, definitely not. She's like, oh, wow, that would just be so mean. That would just be painful. And I'm like, oh, okay, fair. I don't know. Clearly, this is like my one and only gallbladder surgery. So, but thankfully, you know, I'm like, I don't know why I thought that was like the worst situation or worst thing to come of this, but that was in my head. So I didn't need that. So basically, the other person was done surgery. They brought that person out, and then they asked me if I was able to walk into the operating room. The room was like right there, basically. So I said, yeah, no problem. Got up. They gave me like a cap for my head. So I put the little cap on. It was like a little shower cap. Put that on, got onto the bed, and you put your arms out, essentially. So they put like a cold blood pressure cup on my right arm, and then on my left arm, that's where they were gonna feed me I want to say sleep medication, but that's like the only word I can think of. Like the anesthesia, essentially, to your vein, to your arm. So I remember saying before I basically got knocked out was, am I gonna fall asleep soon? And the anesthesiologist is like, oh, very soon. And I feel like literally a second after he said that, they put the mask over my mouth and they just said, like, just keep breathing. And then I was out. I was just done. And it's just funny because I'm trying to think back of what exactly I dreamt about. I don't really think I dreamt fully. I think there's just like bits and pieces. I just remember ice cream for some reason. I just remember like, I don't know if we were like getting ice cream. I just remember ice cream. I don't know why. I just do. It's just weird. But I just, I remember ice cream. But I know like, well, obviously when I woke up, I was very groggy, very, very hoarse. Like my voice was very, very it just sounded like I've been coughing consistently. That's just how raspy and bad. Like if you can hear my voice now being raspy, you can imagine it was very raspy there after surgery. And that's only because they put a tube down your throat just to kind of assist with breathing. So that's why my voice was so harsh like that. And all I remember is I was just so dehydrated, waking up, and it was so cute. The nurse was there. She gave me like a popsicle sponge with water, dipped in water. It was very sweet. And I think I had three of those. And in that time too, they kind of gave you medication through like a needle, just like pain medication. So I think I had two rounds of that. And then eventually she gave me my first kind of pill of oxycodone. And it definitely took the edge off. It wasn't like overly great, but it definitely helped for the most part. So I had that. I was in kind of like the recovery area for probably half an hour, 45 minutes. And then the porters come and they take you back to your room. So once I got back there, I still sat for another half an hour. I think in that time they called Kurt and told him like, you can come and get me. And I stayed in like my room for like probably half an hour before I was like officially like discharged. And they gave me like some cookies and juice. I only had like one cookie. I think like it was a pack of two. I only had one. I really wasn't hungry. Like, just overall, I was just more thirsty. Like, my throat was even like talking like to Kurt. I'm just like, I was just so. It wasn't like I was drugged. It was just like I couldn't speak, and I hated that. I hated. Like I said, I'm already raspy enough. I don't need to be even more raspier. It sucked, but it's all right. We got through that day. I got over that, no big deal, but I was just overly thirsty, so keep that in mind for anyone who is having that surgery. Like I said, you'll probably like have a tube down your throat, so you're going to come out of it probably very dehydrated, but make sure, you know, you just kind of let the nurse know, and I think obviously for when you're first waking up, they're not going to like throw water in your face and be like, drink this whole bottle of water. They're just going to slowly take it easy, which is basically what they should do. But yeah, so after that, Kurt came and got me. I got to go home, and now basically I will go back for kind of just an assessment, I guess, in a month's time with my surgeon, and he'll probably just ask me how I feel, kind of give me like the biopsy details on my gallbladder, because I did want to test what that polyp was made out of, obviously, because we want to know if there's anything more we need to look into. So I'm hoping for the positive. I'm hoping it comes back, you know, it's just kind of whatever I had said prior, just kind of a buildup of that. Yeah, hopefully it's just, you know, cholesterol buildup that just couldn't break down. But basically, other than that, that's kind of, I'm still like in essentially recovery mode. I feel so much better now. It's been a week and a day. I am definitely in less pain. I definitely took my pills throughout. I think I was given like 10 oxycodone pills, like as a prescription. I think I still have one left that I really don't need to take. Like I feel great now that I've taken what I can. And now that the prescription is, or the pain's basically gone, I feel like there's not necessary to keep continually putting that into your body. I think once you feel ultimately good, then, you know, you should be okay for that. But obviously, discretion of your doctor. You should probably be taking anything for the duration of what you should be, and not more, not less, as I'm with one more pill, but whatever, it's fine. But yeah, like that's my story essentially on my gallbladder. I hope this kind of made some people out there feel, you know, a little bit better if you are going through something similar or have gone through something similar and you're like, oh my God, I've gone through that. Oh my God, I remember that. Oh my God. Or those two, like I said, who are fearing it, who do have like their gallbladder surgery coming up or whatnot, or any kind of surgery. And, you know, I hope I kind of put you at a little bit of ease in the procedure and just kind of what my story and my side of the story and kind of my recovery. Even right now, like I said, it's only been a week and a day, but overall I feel pretty good. I feel like I can do essentially all the stuff I had done prior just without a gallbladder. So no more pain, so that's great. But like I said, if you guys did like this podcast, like, subscribe, share, comment, do anything you can to get a voice out there, and we'll be talking soon. Thanks so much, guys.